Welcome to the Grace Church Sermon Podcast for Sunday, August 13th, 2017. Today we continue our sermon series, Wisdom Calling, a study in the book of Proverbs. Pastor Mike Matheson will be preaching on Proverbs on Emotions. The text can be found in Proverbs 14:13, 14:30, 15:30, 25:28, 29:22, and Proverbs 29:25.
We are beginning today with Proverbs 14:13. Even in laughter, the heart may ache, and the end of joy may be grief. Proverbs 14:30. A tranquil heart gives life to the flesh, but envy makes the bones rot. Proverbs 15:30. The light of the eyes rejoices the heart, and good news refreshes the bones. Proverbs 25:28. A man without self-control is like a city broken into and left without walls. Proverbs 29:22. A man of wrath stirs up strife, and one given to anger causes much transgression. Proverbs 29:25, the fear of man lays a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord is safe. And this is God's word for us today.
Well, in the year 2015, there were over 1 million fires reported in the United States alone. Over 3,000 people lost their lives that year from fire. Over 15,000 people were injured from fire, and over $14 billion of damage occurred through fire, and that was just one year and in one country. Imagine multiplying that across several countries and across several years of history, and the effects of fire are nothing less than devastating. Imagine a world without fire. Without fire, millions might be alive, millions more uninjured. Countless homes and properties and memories would be preserved, destruction avoided. But imagine a world without fire. There'd be no heat to keep us warm when it's cold. And I know right now in the summertime here in Wisconsin, we don't care too much about that. But in just a few short months here in Wisconsin, we will be very thankful for fire to keep us warm. Without fire, how would we cook our food? Imagine a world without grilling. I don't want to imagine that kind of a world. Now, even things as simple as transportation, right? Engines and cars, they rely on little combustion that moves the wheels. And I don't know anything else about how cars work, but I know there's fire in there. Far less practical, but still important. Imagine a world where you cannot just sit and watch a fire, whether it's outside at a campsite or maybe even just inside, just watching the light of a candle dancing. Now, despite its devastating effects, I wouldn't want to imagine a world without fire. Fire is one of those things that, out of control, without protection and barriers, it consumes and it destroys. Its effects are devastating. But at the same time, when it is treated with care, when it's treated with wisdom, it brings great benefits and even great beauty. And I say that this morning because emotions are like fire. Imagine a world without emotions. Some of you are saying, yes, praise the Lord. Emotions can be unpredictable. They can be hard to navigate. And many of us, especially those of us who are more rational and kind of logically minded, we may just assume to be rid of emotions altogether. They can have devastating effects. They can move us to say things and do things that we would never otherwise do. But imagine a world without emotions. I mean, yeah, maybe you'd avoid a little bit of drama, but you'd never feel joy. You'd never feel happiness or excitement. You'd never feel affections for other people. You'd never just exchange a smile with somebody else. I mean, think of the things that you felt on your wedding day or at the birth of a child. Think of the things that you felt when just marveling at something in creation, like the ocean or the Grand Canyon, or even just maybe the sunrise over the lake. Even think of the feelings that you may have felt in loss or in grief, and they may not have felt good, but those feelings were still important and necessary to help you, help to process and make sense of reality. Emotions are like fire. Out of control, without barriers, without wisdom, they can consume and destroy, and they have devastating effects. But at the same time, we need them. We need them, and treated with care, when treated properly, they bring great benefits, even great beauty. And it takes great wisdom to navigate them wisely. And that is exactly why God has given us Proverbs. Remember that Proverbs is all about wisdom. God, through Proverbs, is speaking to us, and he is trying to make us wise. And specifically this week, what we see is that God has given us wisdom to be emotionally wise. He has given us wisdom right here in his word through Proverbs to make us emotionally wise. We cannot ignore our emotions. We can't let them rule us. But we can navigate them with wisdom. And God has given us that wisdom right here in Proverbs. And the way that Proverbs does that is by sort of painting a sort of complex picture of emotional wisdom. And so what I want us to do this morning is look at six aspects of God's wisdom for emotions this morning. There are six unique aspects of God's wisdom for emotions that we see in Proverbs. Now, don't worry. Some of these will be short. I know that most sermons have 3 points. This one will have six. It won't be twice as long, so don't feel fear, okay? 6 points. Let's begin with number one. The first aspect of God's wisdom for emotions that I want to see this morning is this. Emotions are complex and dynamic. Now, I know we don't always use those two words. I want to unpack those a little bit. When something's complex, it has many layers to it. There's a lot going on at once. When something is dynamic, it means it's just constantly changing. Emotions are complex and dynamic. There's many layers to them, many things happening at once, and they can change at any moment. And we see that in Proverbs chapter 14, verse 13. Even in laughter, the heart may ache, and the end of joy may be grief. Now, this proverb's not trying to tell us specific things about these emotions. It's not trying to say something about laughter or heartache or joy or grief. What it's showing us is the complexity of the human experience of emotions. That two different emotions, two very different emotions. We have laughter, which makes us think of joy, and we have heartache, which we would put at the very opposite end of the emotional spectrum, if you will. And here Proverbs is saying that we can experience both those seemingly opposing emotions at the exact same time. And not only can two seemingly opposing emotions be felt at once, one can give way to another in a moment. We can be experiencing joy one moment, and then with the slightest twitch of a thought or experience, our emotion of joy can give way to grief. This is another way that emotions can be like fire. They can shift in intensity at any moment. They can be white hot, blazing in 1 second. They can cool off, become just sort of glowing embers the next. They can move unpredictably one direction to another. And the wisdom we get from Proverbs here, it recognizes the complexity and this constantly changing nature of emotions, but it doesn't just recognize it. It affirms it. It affirms this about emotions. And I think one of the things that, maybe one of the reasons why some of us kind of don't like emotions is that they can be unpredictable, they can be hard to manage, and a lot of us just think, you know, emotions, they just cause problems. And while there is some part truth to that, they can be complex and dynamic, we need to be careful that we don't say that therefore they are bad. God has created us as emotional beings. God in his wisdom has designed us so that we feel things, that we feel even very different things, sometimes simultaneously. God in his wisdom has made us as emotional beings who can feel one thing one moment and another way the next. And this is part of God's wise design. And so this morning, as we hear God's wisdom for us to be emotionally wise, we should start right here by just recognizing the nature of emotions and seeing that in the context of this is God's wise plan for what it even means to be human. And another thing we need to be careful of, which we'll see in our next point, is that emotions aren't always easily broken up into categories of good ones and bad ones. Instead, there are good ways and bad ways to direct our emotions. This is point number two. Some emotions need to be directed at the right object. Some emotions need to be directed at the right object. And one of the emotions that comes up several times in Proverbs is that of fear. Okay, fear. Fear is a feeling, it's an emotion. It's one of the most powerful emotions that we have. I think probably most often we tend to think of fear as a negative emotion. We tend to think of it as bad. Most of us don't want to be afraid. Most of us don't enjoy feeling fear. And yet what we see in Proverbs is that the feeling of fear, it can be either positive or negative. It all depends on where that fear is directed. Proverbs 9:10 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is insight." Again, typically we think of fear as being negative, and so sometimes when we hear things like this about fearing the Lord, we kind of resist that. We sort of kind of chafe against statements like that. I've heard attempts to sort of soften this to say, "Well, you know, when it says fear, it doesn't really mean fear. It just kind of means like awe or respect." And in one sense, that's right. There is awe or respect going on here. But at the same time, there's no reason to think that when it says fear, it doesn't just mean fear. Fear. God's wisdom to us, the very beginning of wisdom, is that we have an emotional response to the Lord that includes real fear. He is all powerful. He is totally sovereign. He does as he wills and he pleases. It's right for us to feel fear. Again, I think one of the reasons why we don't like that is because, well, we think, well, I mean, doesn't God want us to come to him? So why would he want us to fear him if he wants us to come to him? And one of the things I think that we need to see is that it is not always the case that we are pushed away from the things that we fear. We can be drawn to the things that we fear. As many of you probably know, we have a zoo here in Racine, and our family has a season pass to the zoo. We take our kids there pretty regularly. And it's a great zoo, but there is one primary attraction that brings us back to the zoo here again and again. It's the lions. I love taking the kids to go see the lions. And so earlier this week, we went out and we went to see the lions. And on the way there, our two-year-old daughter, she kept saying how excited she was. She was so excited to go to the zoo. She was so excited to see the lions. As we approached the door to kind of walk inside to see the lions, I opened the door, and as I opened the door, there was a deafening roar. The lion was in there roaring over and over again. As we opened that door, my daughter, she heard that roar, and she froze dead in her tracks. She was afraid. But she didn't want to leave. She didn't want to run away. In fact, what she wanted to do was go further. She wanted to go in. She wanted to see with her own eyes the very thing that was making her feel afraid. She just needed a little help. She needed a little hand to kind of walk her through. We can be drawn to the things that we fear. And I think this is a small picture. It's a small picture of what it means for us to fear the Lord. Yes, there's awe. Yes, there's reverence. And there is a real feeling of fear. And yet, even in that fear, we're drawn to him and we are to know the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is insight. That is good fear. But not all fear is good. There is a fear that Proverbs warns us about. That's the fear of man. Proverbs 29:25 says, "The fear of man lays a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord is safe." Here we see the same emotion, exact same emotion, which on one hand is the beginning of wisdom when it's directed at the Lord, but here it is not wisdom at all. It is a trap when it is directed horizontally at other people. An emotionally wise person will not direct their fear towards other people. When we do that, when we fear other people, it's like we're laying a trap and we see it right there before us, we lay it open and we jump right into it. When we fear other people, we give them a power and a control over us that they were never intended to have. That's bad fear. And so let me just say, if you struggle with the fear of man, again, that is a emotional response. And it's real. And the antidote is right here. It doesn't say, just don't feel feelings of fear. Fear the Lord. Trust in the Lord. Whoever trusts in the Lord is safe. If you want to be emotionally wise, don't just avoid feeling fear. Fear the Lord. You see, fear itself is not good or bad. It just needs to be directed at the right object. Now, in addition to this, in addition to being careful about treating emotions as either just simply good or bad, we also need to be careful and cautious about how emotions want to show themselves. This is point number three. Some emotions tend to express themselves outwardly. There are some emotions that we feel on the inside that just want to get on the outside. And again, feelings are primarily things that we feel on the inside. But one of the reasons why we need wisdom to navigate our emotions is because of how they show themselves in our outer behavior. Our emotions, they influence the things that we say and we do. And in Proverbs, the primary way we see that is through the emotion of anger. Anger is one of the emotions that comes up most in Proverbs, and with it come strong warnings. Proverbs 29:25 says, a man of wrath stirs up strife, and one given to anger causes much transgression. Somebody who's given to anger, someone who's given to wrath, they stir up strife, they cause much transgression, because anger is one of those emotions that just, it wants to get out. It wants to be on the outside. In fact, even the Hebrew word that we translate as anger or wrath, that's actually the word that's also used for the nose or for nostrils. It has the idea of flaring the nostrils. That's what we do when we're angry, isn't it? We flare our nostrils. Sometimes we even kind of exhale and kind of snort. Anger wants to show itself. And those are pretty mild reactions to anger. But anger can be like a boiling pot, and it lets off steam. And when that steam is compressed, if it can't leak out, if it can't show itself, it might just blow up. That's what we say, isn't it? When someone has an outburst of anger, we say, they blew up, they exploded. And here, let me just say, almost kind of as an aside, I think it's somewhat ironic that often when we talk about emotions, right, we tend to think that men aren't very emotional. Right? I mean, let's be honest. We tend to think, okay, women are emotional and men are more rational. And yet, when we think about anger, who do we most often think about? Often we think about men. And so I'm just saying this to say that men, if you're tempted to check out here, if you're tempted to think, okay, this is about emotions, it's not really about me, be careful, don't do that. Proverbs, when talking about emotions, one of the most frequent things it talks about is anger, which is an emotion. And so not only is this applicable to all of us, but in some ways, this might even be specifically applicable to us as men. And as it is, we need to be careful. We need to be careful because anger, it wants to express itself. It wants to get out. And often when it does, it causes great harm. When we speak out of anger, we say things that do damage and hurt other people. Sometimes it can even cause us to have a physical reaction, not just flaring the nostrils, but sometimes it can even cause us to slam things. In some cases, anger can be so powerful and so devastating, it moves us even to the point of physical violence. And someone who's becoming emotionally wise is somebody who recognizes the power of anger. Someone who recognizes the way in which anger wants to get out. It wants to show itself. But at the same time, we also have to recognize that this is not saying never feel anger. First of all, that's just not even possible. But second of all, that may not even be desirable. Again and again, when Proverbs addresses this emotion of anger, it tells us to be slow to anger. Listen to these Proverbs as examples. Proverbs 14:29, whoever is slow to anger has great understanding. Proverbs 15:18, a hot-tempered man stirs up strife, but he who is slow to anger quiets contention. Proverbs 16:32, whoever is slow to anger is better than the mighty city, and he who rules his spirit than he who takes a city. Proverbs 19:11, good sense makes one slow to anger. What Proverbs is not saying is that anger is always bad, but it does seem to be saying it's almost always dangerous. It doesn't say never be angry, but it says be slow to anger. We need to have caution. When anger, when it heats up fast, it explodes. But there are times when the slow, kind of simmering heat of anger is a helpful and appropriate emotional response. And God, in his wisdom, he has given us anger in a full range of emotions. And when something happens in the world, when there's an injustice that occurs even far away from us, it is right to be angry. When we see acts of violence and hatred being committed around the world and even here in our own land, it is appropriate for us to feel anger. We just need to be careful in what that anger pushes us to do. Maybe even more closely to home, when someone we love, someone we care about, when they make a bad decision, when they do something that hurts themselves, it is right for us to feel anger. It's been said many times, perhaps you've heard this before, that the opposite of love is not anger. The opposite of love is apathy. It's just not even caring. And anger very often is an appropriate response that works together even with love. And God has given us that emotion. We just need to be careful. We need to be slow to anger. And if we want to be emotionally wise, then we'll see that anger is one of those emotions that it can be dangerous. It wants to show itself. So we need to be cautious. But we don't just need to be cautious with emotions that want to express themselves outwardly. There are emotions that we need to be just as careful with, even as they work primarily inwardly. This is point number four. Some emotions work primarily inwardly. Some work primarily on the inside and can be even more dangerous. Proverbs 14:30 says, a tranquil heart gives life to the flesh, but envy makes the bones rot. If anger is the loud, explosive, outward, devastating emotion, then envy is the silent killer. If you feel envy, you might be able to conceal it. It doesn't necessarily flare the nostrils like anger does. It doesn't always show itself on the outside. But that doesn't mean you're okay. That doesn't mean it's not dangerous. Envy makes the bones rot. Envy, even if it's concealed, envy will destroy you from the inside out. And this is even more dangerous than anger. Proverbs 27:4 says, wrath is cruel, anger is overwhelming, but who can stand before jealousy? Envy or jealousy, though often silent, it can end up doing more damage to us even than anger. I think probably most of us have somewhat of an idea of what envy or jealousy is. Sometimes there's a distinction made between those words, but here in Proverbs, those words are just used interchangeably. I think a great way to kind of get a picture of what envy or jealousy is through the Latin word for envy, which is invidia, or, stay with me, invidio. Invidio. And that gives us a great picture of what envy is and how it works. Envy is like looking at someone's life, like watching it like a video, watching it like it's a movie. And you're looking at their life and you think, I want to be in that life. I want to be in that video. I want to be in that movie. I don't want my life. I don't want to be in this story. I want to be in that one. And perhaps maybe you've even done that, going to the movies, right? We go to the movies and we want to get an escape and we see kind of a fictional story and we know it's not real and we kind of long to be in that fictional world. But the same thing can happen in real life. We can put people's lives on display before our own eyes and watch it like it's a video and we think, that's what I want. And what God is telling us through Proverbs, he's giving us wisdom to navigate our emotions. What he's saying is this one, envy, this one, will kill you. It will rot you from the inside out. And again, you cannot completely control whether or not you ever feel envy, but somebody who's not emotionally wise, they will feed their envy. They'll keep it alive. They'll nurture it. They'll let it grow. And as it does, it slowly poisons you and it kills you from the inside out. It will rob you of all your joy and contentment. And in just a moment, we'll talk more about the antidote to envy. We'll get there. But before we do that, in our next point, what I want to do is talk about something that we've kind of been alluding to all along in these early points here. And that is the role of self-control with our emotions. Point number 5, all emotions need to be navigated with self-control. All of our emotions need to be navigated with self-control. Now, as soon as I say that, I need to clarify, here's what I'm not saying. I'm not simply saying, control your emotions. And perhaps you've heard that before. Perhaps you've even been told that before. Just control your emotions. And if you have, I'm sorry. Because that is not a healthy statement. That is not something an emotionally wise person seeks to do. You cannot simply just control your emotions, not completely. Emotions are things that happen on the inside of you, and they're triggered by all sorts of little things, all sorts of thoughts that you have in your mind, all sorts of experiences that happen in the world. Just like you don't tell your body to feel pain when you're cut, you don't need to tell your body to feel anger when you're offended. So an emotionally wise person doesn't try to strictly control their emotions. But an emotionally wise person does seek to navigate their emotions, so to speak. An emotionally wise person seeks to be aware of his or her own emotions and the things that cause them to feel certain emotions. And an emotionally wise person does not let their emotions control them. That is the key distinction here. We don't completely control our emotions, but we do need to use self-control to not let our emotions completely control us. Proverbs 25:28 says, "A man without self-control is like a city broken into and left without walls." I mean, think of that picture there. Imagine a city. No walls, no boundaries, no barriers, no protection to outside influences. In the ancient world, when a city had no walls, anybody could come into that city and they could do whatever they wanted. The city was at the mercy of whoever came in. Imagine yourself as that city. Without self-control, without walls, our emotions can come in and they overrun us. We are at the mercy of our emotions and they will have their way with us without self-control. So instead, if we want to be emotionally wise, we need to put walls around the city, so to speak. Again, we can't control what comes up to the walls. Things happen in life and in our minds that just trigger responses. We can't stop that. But what we can do is we can set up this emotional barrier, these walls of self-control. We can set a guard up on the wall to look out and say, what are the things that come up to my city, so to speak, that come up to me that cause me to feel certain things and to cause me to want to react in certain ways? Again, an emotionally wise person doesn't simply control their emotions, but they don't let their emotions control them. And let me just say here, the greatest picture we have of this is Jesus himself. Jesus, who is the very Son of God, born as a man and as a human, Jesus had the full experience and range of human emotions, and yet he always demonstrated self-control. He felt joy. He experienced sadness and he cried with people. Jesus got angry. And yet, even in the face of being falsely accused and mocked and scourged and even crucified, he was completely self-controlled. He was silent, like a sheep led to the slaughter. And not only was he completely self-controlled, but he even felt compassion and even prayed for forgiveness for the very ones who stood by and mocked him. Jesus is a picture for us of what it truly looks like to be human, to be emotional, and to be emotionally wise, to be self-controlled even in the most challenging of circumstances. And if we look at the life of Jesus and what we see is an emotional human being, then we can conclude that emotions are essential for human beings. And Proverbs affirms that too. This is what we see in our sixth and final point this morning. Number six, emotions are essential for a healthy Christian life. Emotions are essential for a healthy Christian life. Proverbs 15:30 says, "The light of the eyes rejoices the heart, and good news refreshes the bones." You know, sometimes I think that we're tempted to pit thinking and truth over against emotions and feelings. And Proverbs does not do that. That is not the picture we get from Proverbs here. What this is saying is that there is an undeniable, unbreakable connection between those two things. The light of the eyes rejoices the heart. Good news refreshes the bones. Look at the connection here. When it says the light of the eyes, we're supposed to see that as like a messenger who's coming forward, and we're looking into the light of the eyes of the messenger whose eyes are just lit up because of the message they're bringing. When it says good news, we're thinking of a messenger who's coming, he's announcing something to us, something that's happened, something that's true, something that we can bank on, and something that is for our good. And when that good news reaches our ears, it enters into our minds and our thoughts and down into our hearts, and it makes us feel joy. It refreshes our bones. It brings refreshment to our entire being. And friends, when this proverb refers to good news, I do think that probably the original listeners, they were just kind of thinking of any old good news that might bring about the emotional response of joy. But when we hear these words, when we hear good news, how can we not think about the greatest news of all? How can we not think about the gospel? The word gospel means good news announcement. So what's the good news? The good news is that God is for us. And we know that because he gave his perfect son for us to die for us on the cross in our place so that all who would trust in him would be totally forgiven of all our sins. And God raised Jesus from the dead, and he rules and reigns in heaven today so that all who believe in him will have eternal life with him. And the wisdom that we get here from Proverbs, what God's wisdom on emotions is telling us, is that there is an appropriate emotional response to the gospel, to this good news. Now look, I'm not talking about emotionalism. I'm not talking about emotional manipulation. Christianity is not about just kind of playing the right music and saying the right things to kind of tug on your heartstrings and get you to cry or kind of soliciting a certain emotional response from you. That is not Christianity. That's not emotional wisdom. But I'm also not talking about the gospel as just news. It's not just about hyper-rationalism either. Christianity is not about just kind of reviewing a set of facts and saying, yep, that's true. The good news of the gospel is meant to come into our minds and be true and come into our hearts and be met with an emotional response, the response of a rejoicing heart. So let me just ask you this morning, in your response to the gospel, has the good news reached all the way down to your heart? Is the gospel just news, or is it good news to you? And if it's good news, then you must feel something. And again, I'm not saying that you gotta walk around, chipper all the time, like everything's perfect. Remember, emotions are complex and dynamic. We can feel sorrow and joy at the same time, and we can feel joy 1 minute and then sorrow the next. But somewhere in there, if you have really considered what it means that God is for us, so totally for us in his son Jesus, then you have to have an emotional response to that. And so in that sense, feeling emotions is an essential part of living the Christian life. But the gospel is not just about having any sort of emotional response. The gospel actually helps us as we navigate all of our emotional responses. I mean, just think about the ones that we mentioned this morning. Think about fear. What is it that you fear? Do you fear what other people think and say about you? Look at the gospel. Look at the pronouncement that God has made about you in the gospel. Look at how God thinks and feels about you in the gospel. He has said to you, if you trust in my son Jesus, then you are righteous. Do you fear God's judgment or his wrath? If you have trusted in Christ, he has said to you, you are totally forgiven. I am not against you. I am for you. Think of the gospel. You're afraid of death? If you have trusted in Christ, God says to you, don't be afraid of death. In Christ, death does not get the final word. In Christ, I will raise you up. Think about anger. Do you look around the world and you feel angry by what you see? In the gospel, God has told us that one day he will set everything right. And all of those who are in Christ, we all get to partake in that. In Christ, all wrongs will be righted. What about envy? Have you been watching other people's lives, wishing you could be in their movie, so to speak? Is it rotting your bones? Good news refreshes the bones. If God is for us, even to the point of giving us his son, how much more will he give us all things? Even beyond that, everything that we have in this life, no matter who you are, one day it will all fade away. But God has an inheritance for us that he is keeping in heaven, and it is imperishable. No one can touch it. And one day we will have more than we could ever dream or imagine. Think about the gospel. God has given us emotions for our own good so that we can experience life and joy, so that we can respond to the gospel. And friends, if we want to be emotionally wise people, we need to be gospel people. Let the gospel make its way down into your inner being so that you don't just know it, but you feel it. Let's pray. God, we thank you and we praise you for your great wisdom. Your great wisdom as it's on display in creation to make us as people who are made in your image with emotions and with a full range of emotions that are complex and hard to navigate. And Father, we confess that very often we do not do that well. Very often we do not do that with wisdom, and we let our emotions control us. So Father, I pray this morning, even as we hear your word, that you would make us emotionally wise. Let your word come into our hearts. Let it do a work. Cause us to respond. Cause us to respond with our mind as we hear truth, and cause us to respond in our hearts as we even feel joy that you have given us wisdom to be emotionally wise. And help us look always to your son Jesus for how to do that. Help us to know and to believe that he is present with us, those who believe in him, and he is present with us to help us and to make us wise. And I pray that you would do that even today. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for joining us today, and we hope to see you back next week as our study in the book of Proverbs continues. For additional podcasts, streaming video, a calendar of events, and blog posts, stop by our website, graceinracine.com.